So let us pray. Lord, thank you that we can come together and worship you today. Thank you for your boundless love and grace. May we hear your word today, and may we continue to grow in our relationship with you. Ask you help us understand what it means to be a disciple, what it looks like to follow you, and to give us the boldness to live our lives for you and to proclaim your kingdom. It is in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Patrick Werner. As a teacher, I'm not used to having this on my head, so I'm going to try and get used to it. Otherwise, I'm going to rip it off and just use my teacher voice. Let's see. Over the past few weeks, I've been very encouraged from comments of Scott Dove, who's preached here, and Jim Dye, and John Herringa, who I believe has come to visit you guys a couple times, and I'm excited to be able to spend some time with you this morning, but I need you guys to know a couple things before I get started. This face that you look at looks pretty emotionless, but that's not because I'm here. It's just the expression that I carry every day. God has given me many blessings in my life, and he started off by giving me the blessing of having two very caring parents. Both of my parents are deaf, and so I grew up in a deaf household. So English actually is my second language. So I've come to realize that this face is expressionless unless I use sign language. So we're at a crossroads here. We have two choices. I can either give my sermon in sign language and you guys can see fantastic facial expressions, or I can just use English and we'll just get used to looking at this face looking emotionless. You guys get to decide. But seriously, I am honored to be here with you today. And what I try to do when I preach is preach things that I need to hear. So as followers of Christ, I think we all need to hear the word that I'm going to share today. And the prayer of confession this morning really leads into a lot of things that I'm going to talk about. A couple things that we said in the prayer of confession were, let us not use our faith to confess lightly. And then let us not pretend to be other than what we are. So I stand before you as a broken human being, a man with many, many faults. But I know that I'm also being shaped very slowly by the grace and love given to me by Jesus Christ. So my hope is, as we walk away from this beautiful setting today, that we walk away praising God for his creation, and being encouraged, and actually being ready to bring light into the dark world that we live in. So let us be the disciples that Christ invites us to be. Let us truly follow him. And as followers of Christ, we all share core beliefs of who God is and what our purpose in life is. And today I want to dig deep into one of the most central, important beliefs we have as Christians. If we are to follow Christ, if we are to call him our Lord and Savior, then how does that look in our daily lives? What does it actually mean to be a disciple of Christ? And does that cost us something by being disciples? I think most of us are familiar with the word disciple. The basic definition is to be a learner and a follower of Jesus Christ. And the Bible clearly shows how Jesus interacted with his disciples, and especially how he lived his life with the 12 closest disciples that he had. And we can also learn what it means to be a disciple by looking at the New Testament and seeing how the disciples lived out their faith. They did not just stay together. They did not stay in a holy huddle. They did not insulate themselves against the world. They did the opposite. They went out. They sought the lost, and they shared the gospel. And when people accept Christ, they then discipled them. They multiplied. That's what disciples do. they go and make other disciples. Disciples make disciples. And that's what we're called to do when we make the choice to follow Christ. I realize that saying that, the disciples go out and make disciples, can make many of us nervous. Because we feel like we're not prepared enough. Or we're not sure how people will react when we share the word and the truth with them. Or maybe we feel like we're just not ready and don't have enough answers to be someone who disciples another person. And I'm going to tell you, you may be nervous, and that's okay. You don't have to have all the answers. That's okay. And you can still have questions about things, and that's okay. But you see, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about our relationship with Christ. And it's about how He works through us in that relationship. God can use you just how you are today. Doesn't matter how old you are, and it doesn't know how, you know, how much you feel like you know Christ. He can use you to reach the lost because He is God. So let me encourage you with this truth. When you accept Christ, you are, in fact, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "The old is gone, the new is here." If you are a believer, a follower of Christ, a disciple, you are a new creation. When you choose to follow Christ, you become a disciple. That's what you are. And with that comes many wonderful opportunities to grow and to reach beyond the boundaries of the church walls, of the church property. You have those opportunities. But I do want to point out a problem. And it's actually a major concern that we face as the global body of Christ. The meaning of those words that I talked about earlier, being a believer, being a follower, and being a disciple, they have been watered down by church culture. Either people are confused and they don't fully understand what it means to be a disciple, or to be honest, maybe people don't want to move forward in their faith. The world still draws them away from Christ, and they just don't want to let go of what is comfortable to them. This watering down of the gospel, not fully understanding what it means to be a disciple, can lead people to believe that you just say a prayer that you're a sinner, and then go on with the rest of your life just like you did before you said the prayer. That is not biblical truth. It's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said is cheap grace. Cheap grace. The belief that there's no cost to follow Christ. You just show up on a Sunday if you can, you sing a few songs, you read a few Bible verses, and then you live life like you did before you came. That's cheap grace. By misunderstanding the call to follow Jesus Christ, we allow the idea of cheap grace to be a stumbling block for ourselves and to others who are seeking God. See, cheap grace is really, really attractive because it's easy, it's pleasant, it's comfortable, but it isn't the truth. It's false. It's not found in Scripture. We as followers cannot allow a watered-down gospel to take the place of a beautiful gift that Christ offers. Now, before I move on, I do want to stop here and make a disclaimer. I am not preaching works-based salvation. Salvation is an unmerited gift by God out of His goodness, not out of our deeds. But today I am preaching what we're called to do as believers, as disciples. When you place your life and your belief in Jesus Christ, when you accept His invitation to follow me, there has to be a trajectory change in your life. As a disciple, your life should look different from the world. And that does come with a price. To truly follow Christ is costly. And He makes this idea really clear and how He lived His life during His 3-year ministry and His teachings. So I want to look at, what does it look like to be a disciple of Christ? And there's two main ideas of being a disciple that I want to talk about today. And the first one, I think, is something we're all relatively familiar with, and it's being a learner, reading scriptures, immersing yourself in them, studying them, and learning sound doctrine with other believers. Every single believer, every single disciple here should have a mentor, and you should be a mentor to somebody else. You should be in a small group. You should pray individually. We should pray corporately. We should worship together. Those things are wonderful parts of being a follower and apprentice of Christ. But you don't graduate from being a learner. It's a lifelong pursuit. And the second part of being a disciple occurs while you're learning. While we're growing in faith, we must be radically committed to following Christ. And I use the word radically on purpose, because we all have to be all in. There cannot be a hesitation. There cannot be excuses. Christ's words are truth, and we need to understand what they mean in our lives. So that'll lead us to our first scripture reading today. And our first scripture reading is in Matthew 28, and it's just verses 18 and 19. Listen to God's word as I read it to you. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God. As we look at this scripture, a few things jump out to me. And the first are the initial words of Jesus. What did he say? He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." So now we know who has all authority. It's Jesus Christ. It's not me. It's not you. As disciples, we are to willingly give up our power of choice when we follow him. Christ has all the authority, not me. And I'll tell you, I like to make my own decisions. I like to choose my comfort, the things that I enjoy doing. I like to choose what I do with my own time. You can ask my wife. I like to make my own plans. But see, that's not the way it should work. Christ is the decision maker in the life of a believer. So I like to ask questions. I'm going to be asking you a bunch of questions for the rest of this sermon. I want you to listen to this first one. Do we recognize Christ's authority in our lives? Do we use that paradigm of thinking, Christ having all the authority, when we make our decisions? The second thing I want to take from this passage in Matthew is this. Since Christ has all the authority, he calls us to do something that is central to the gospel. Go and make disciples. This isn't a directive for a select few. It's for each and every believer. We are to go outside of the church and make disciples. You are to go to your family and make disciples. You're to go to your neighbors. You're to go to your co-workers. You're to go to the spiritually poor who don't know God. You're to go to the hopeless. Go to the lost wherever they are. And friends, they're all around us. So what does that look like in our everyday lives? And I think if you simply read the Bible, look at what Christ did during his life. Look what he did with his disciples. And then look at what they did in their lives. Disciples made disciples. And then they lived life with them. They shared every part of their life. They held nothing back. They shared the gospel and their lives. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, says, because we loved you so much, we are delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. So I'm encouraging you to share the gospel in yourselves to those who don't know Jesus Christ. Not to just people who you want to, but to everyone. And the ones who accept, you live life with them. And then you send them out to make disciples. See, disciples multiply. It's what we're called to do. Again, disciples make disciples. But here's the rub. To be a disciple is very costly. Being a disciple means it could cost you everything that you hold dear to you. Everything. Not just a couple hours a week, not just time for a Bible study or a small group or worship. Those are good things that we're called to do, but to follow Christ is to give your whole life to Him, not just to be part of it. So if we turn to Luke chapter 9, our second scripture reading, verses 57 to 62, we can see some of the cost. We can see some of the costs for a follower of Christ. I want you to understand this. When you look in the Bible, when you read the New Testament, Christ never hid the cost of following Him. He wanted people to know the cost and then make a choice. And the choice was choose to follow Him or make the choice to reject Him. And when we look at the Old Testament, when we look at Christ's ministry for 3 years, most of the people He spoke to, when they understood the cost, they walked away. They weren't willing to give up the world for a relationship with Christ. I mean, this is hard stuff to hear, but a choice has to be made. Are we all in or not? And Christ talks about this in Luke chapter 9 when He's talking to three people as they're heading down the road. I'm going to read verses 57 and 58. As they were walking along a road, a man said to Him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head." This man came up to Jesus and he was ready to jump in. He was ready to go. "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Christ's response is really telling. He said, "Know what you are getting ready to do. You have to be willing to go out without the luxuries in life, perhaps without the necessities of life. Look at me. I'm homeless. Foxes have dens. Birds have nests. I have no place to lay my head." So are you willing to live for Christ and not the things of this world? Do your choices display your beliefs? Do your choices display your beliefs? In verses 59 and 60, He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." See, Christ, when He said, "Follow me," saw in the answer from this man that his priorities were somewhere else. "I'll follow you, but let me bury my father first." And at first glance, this seems pretty reasonable. But the reality is, we don't know if this man's father was dead or not. But that's not even the point of this exchange. Christ isn't unfeeling. We are to honor our parents. We are to take care of our family. He's not saying that. He was making a crucial point, one that I don't want us to miss. When we follow Christ, we have to be totally committed to Him. We have to rearrange our priorities. So I want us to think today, you know, what are our priorities in life? Is it Christ or is it something else? What's at the top of your list? That's what Christ was getting at. Christ's response was, don't give excuses to delay the proclaiming of the kingdom of God. That comes first. We're called to proclaim the kingdom of God, and our decision-making process should go through that lens when we make choices in life. Our allegiance is to Christ. No excuses. There's no but after that. And verses 61 and 62, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts their hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. This man was willing to follow Christ, but he wanted to go home and say goodbye first. This is hiding a true motive, or his true motive, and it was hiding his reluctance. He wanted to go back and say goodbye to his former life, and then he would follow Christ. And Christ's response is, once you start working for the kingdom, once you choose to follow me, you are a disciple. You have to be all in. You can't look back on the life you once had. That life was one in which you were dead in your sins. You can't put your hand on the plow and look back. And actually, those two verses came to life to me about a year and a half ago when my wife and I were in Cuba doing mission work. We were in Havana, the largest city in Cuba, and we're going 2 hours to go visit a pastor. And in Cuba, they essentially have one highway that runs through the entire country. It's like a 5-lane road. Usually there are not very many cars on it because not a whole lot of people own cars. And you have a couple things that you can do while you're riding on this highway. The first one is, while you're going 55 miles an hour, is to dodge giant potholes and horse carts and people selling things on the side of the road. And the second thing is you just look at the countryside. It's a beautiful country. Well, on this trip to visit this pastor, I was looking out the window. We were driving by some tobacco fields. And I looked off to my left, and I saw half a field plowed. Perfectly straight furrows, perfectly straight. And then in the middle of the field was the farmer. And he had two oxen, and he was holding onto a steel plow. And I watched him, and I started thinking about this verse. And I watched what he was doing. Now, cars don't come by very often on the highway, but he wasn't turning around or looking. His back was to me, and his concentration was on the two oxen in front of him and making sure that that was going as straight as possible. He was so intent on what he was doing, he was not looking around. He was only looking forward. It took all of his concentration to keep that plow straight and those oxen doing what he wanted them to do in order to cut into that deep clay soil. I got to see the words of Christ play out right in front of me. If that farmer looked away from what he was doing, there would have been issues. That plow could get pulled out and flip. The furrows wouldn't be straight. And he would not have been able to sow his seeds correctly. See, his future crop was at stake before he ever planted a seed. His actions showed he knew what was going on. He knew that in order to plant seeds, he needed to be focused on what he was doing. And that's what Christ is saying. To do kingdom work, we have to be focused. We can't make excuses. We can't look back. We need to tend the fields that we do mission in. We need to plant and harvest. And we don't ever need to look back on our life before we knew Christ. To accomplish what God calls us to do, we need to be focused. So Christ was clear with these three potential followers. Being a disciple is hard work. We may have nothing to comfort us. We could be called away from our loved ones, and we cannot be distracted from what God calls us to do. Being a disciple is costly. But friends, Christ lived a costly life. why in the world would we expect to live differently? Christ makes it clear in his words, Jesus was not about being popular. He didn't want fans. He was about and is about saving souls. What did he say to the large crowds that followed him? He certainly did not preach cheap grace. He spoke the truth. Here is the truth. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." So this cross over here reminds me, in my basement, of an 8-foot rough sawn piece of lumber that weighs about 150, 200 pounds, similar to the size of that crossbeam. I was going to use it to put a mantle on my fireplace. But when I picked that up and moved it, it reminded me of what Christ was saying here in verse 27. And so I keep it in my basement as a reminder of what I'm supposed to pick up every day, my cross. See, Christ was using an illustration that was really clear to people in the first century. And we need to understand it in that context. The cross was a symbol of suffering. When you were condemned to be crucified, you're actually forced to carry just the cross beam. The cross itself would be too heavy. You carried the cross beam to your execution. And so I want us to think about that every day. What are we choosing? If we're not willing to die to ourselves and our desires and live for God's kingdom, then we can't be his disciples. We need to be aware every day of what we're placing first in our lives. So, let's ask ourselves some questions here. What am I carrying today? What am I going to carry tomorrow? Is it the cross for Christ? Or is it my to-do list and my schedule, or my kids' schedule, or my comfort? Am I going to carry the cross for Christ? Or is it my career and my reputation and my stuff? Is it the cross for Christ? Or is it my own plans for the futures and my own desire? I'm going to tell you, these questions are really convicting for me. Because I know that more days than not, I don't pick up my cross and die for Christ. Instead, I find myself working for things that ultimately are worthless in God's economy. Christ goes on to make it really clear, crystal clear in verse 13 of Luke. Luke 44:33. He says, "To those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples." We have to be willing to give up everything that we value to be his disciples. And this is hard stuff. It's difficult. Why does he want it all? Why does it have to be so hard? Why is the cost so high? I'm going to tell you why. Because he needs to change you, and he needs to change me into his likeness. And that's hard work, because there's so much of me that is not in Christ's likeness. See, God is preparing us for eternity. And what we do here, today, and tomorrow does impact eternity. So let us be courageous. Let us build his kingdom. Let us be bold disciples. Let us carry our cross and choose Christ. So my encouragement to you is this. It doesn't matter how old you are. You need to be all in when you follow Christ. You need to love others as he loves you. And you need to share the good news. Give up your comfort. Give up your time. Give up your schedule. And live the life of being a disciple of Christ. So follow Christ, not in order to assure your salvation. You follow Christ because your salvation is assured. Don't settle for cheap grace. My prayer and hope for you all is that you may run the race to the end. May the Holy Spirit empower you to bear the cost of discipleship. and spread the good news to those who need to hear it. And when you stand before Christ, my hope is this, that you will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done."